Native American rapper Frank Juan is out with a new song. It's about justice, and he says he wants every American citizen who hears it to pressure our government to follow its own laws and honor its treaties. Last year, Juan did a benefit show to support the Standing Rock protesters. He's also written songs about oppression and alcoholism. We spoke with him last April, and I asked him what drew him to the kind of music he makes.
Yeah, I was born and raised out on the Rosewood Reservation, located in South Central South Dakota. And, you know, whenever I was growing up, whenever I was a kid, hip-hop just resonated with a lot of Native youth from my generation, especially growing up on reservations, because we could relate to the stories being told in the music. And I started writing poetry when I was in middle school. I started playing piano when I was 9. So all that kind of just came out into what I do today as a music artist, producer, and performer.
Well, give me an example. What kind of a song were you listening to that resonated with you?
Definitely Nas. When I heard his song One Mic, I was in 7th grade, and I was digging hip hop, and it just totally spoke to me, the way Nas was telling the story of his community in a very raw way, but also speaking to his community and saying that, you know, we can create change and we can help each other. That was a very powerful message for me. And when I heard that, I said I want to do that.
Left me cause they thought I was finished. Should've knew she wasn't true. She came to me when a man caught a sentence. Diamonds are blinded. I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace, lighter load. See now the king is straight. Swelling my melon cause none of these real hurting were telling police how can a kingpin squeal. This is crazy. I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now.
All I need is one mic. One mic.
But some people may be surprised to hear that you hear a connection between what is broadly the inner-city African-American experience in this country and the on-the-reservation Native American experience in this country.
Yes, well, you know, there definitely are differences. I would say that, you know, black folks are coming up out of a history of slavery that their ancestors had to endure. And my ancestors and myself, we're coming up out of a history of genocide. So, you know, we're both being oppressed by this system that was imposed on us. So there's definitely similarities in coming up in those type of communities, especially in a poor community of color. So I actually learned that whenever I moved to Chicago and I started, you know, doing workshops or going into schools that were in inner city Chicago. And I saw the parallels there, and I didn't even know they really existed. And then it started to make sense why I gravitated towards those music and those stories. So like I said, there's differences, but there's also parallels.
Well, let's listen to a song that you've done here. This is off of your earlier EP. It's called White War.
I bet their hearts drop when they hear these drums and hear our songs now. Tired of being oppressed, we standing strong now. Can't whitewash me in this white war. You can't speak about people you don't fight for. When they hear these drums and hear our songs now. Tired of being oppressed, we standing strong now. Can't whitewash me in this white war. You can't speak about people you don't fight for.
You can't whitewash me in this white war. What are you singing about there?
I'm talking about the way history is taught in the United States. Whenever I came to Chicago to go to school, I actually met a person my first week here that was living in my dorm who thought Native Americans are extinct. She thought we were gone and dead, and it really shook me. And I started looking at the way, you know, history is taught in this country, and a lot of history books don't mention us past the 1800s. So I was talking about that sort of whitewashing of history, how history was told by the victors, and how, you know, our side of the story is never told, but it's just as much American history as anything else.
Who's your audience? Are you speaking to other Native Americans, or are you trying to speak to other people who are not living on reservations and never did?
I'm speaking to both, honestly, but I would say my target audience is Native youth, because I know what they went through. You know, we grew up in similar circumstances. So I think it's really important that young Native youth see positive Native role models doing what they love and succeeding and getting our stories out there to the world.
Let's listen to another one of your songs. This is called Runaway.
Wake up with the blues. Blue skies, take a cruise. This city ain't my home. You left me here alone. Dark skies seem so surreal. I can't tell her how I feel. I can't tell you how I feel.
I just need to run away. I've been running since the winter time. My mother called the sun today. And I lied and said that I'm fine. What's the use of it?
If you were to ask me to list the Native American rappers that I know, at this point, you would be the only one. Are there others that have been able to inspire you?
Yes, definitely. There's many others. There's others that have come before me, and there's many doing it now. But I would say one of the biggest influences on me, he was more of a poet, but he was doing something similar to what I try to do, is John Trudell. He actually recently passed away, but he's a Native American activist and poet and actor, and he's been a big influence on me. But, you know, there's Native musicians across all genres out there doing it, but we're just finally getting platforms and starting to get looks from people outside of Indian country.
What's that song Runaway about?
That song is a very personal song. This album, Tokia, is a very personal album. It's actually, a lot of it is telling the story of how I'm trying to deal and heal from the historical trauma that has been dealt to me through my ancestors and through being a survivor of genocide, and that how that resulted in me struggling with depression since the time I was a child. So that song, Runaway, is about this bad emotional habit I had to run away from my problems, and also just the loneliness of coming to a large city and being away from my family and my home, and how I felt so alone in a city amongst millions because no one understood me as an indigenous person.
Do you think that you'll ever go back to the reservation?
Oh, yeah. I just came back from there. I was there 2 days ago. I went and did a show at a middle school on our reservation, and I did a workshop with some kids and helped them write a song. So I try to go home as much as I can.
But will you ever go back and move back?
Yes, most definitely. But right now, I want to travel the world. I recently started getting some international gigs, and the nearest airport from my home res is 3 hours away, so it would really be hard to be a traveling artist, and I fly every week, so Chicago is a good hub for me right now because an airport's really close.
Hmm. I know that you've also written about the Keystone XL pipeline. What inspired you there?
Well, I wrote a song about the Keystone XL pipeline about 4 or 5 years ago. They were actually trying to build the pipeline through a portion of our reservation back home. So I thought, you know, what way can I contribute to help my home community try to protect our water? So I just decided to use my gift and write a song for it. And it led to some great opportunities. I actually got to share the stage with Willie Nelson and Neil Young at a concert to raise awareness and funds for that effort.
My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Lakota philosophy, keep them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil.
So with all of these ideas and all of your views on these issues that are so important to you and to your community, why become a rapper instead of a politician and try to fix it?
Because I'm not passionate about politics. You know, I'm passionate about music. At the end of the day, I'm going to be making music until the day I die. I just love to do it. It makes me feel happy. It's like an itch that I have to scratch. So I just think it's really beautiful that I found a way to use what I love to help heal people and to help heal myself and to just to tell my story to the world, you know, stories that have been kind of suppressed and silenced for many years. So I just do it because I love to make music.
As you mentioned, you hold workshops for young people. What have they told you about what the things that you do mean to them?
You know, it's a... The reaction that I get from Native youth is worth more to me than money. Almost every time I do a show in an indigenous community, a young Native person comes up to me and tells me that my music or my performance has changed their life. And I remember when I was growing up, I never seen a young Native person from a reservation, you know, on a mainstream platform talking about real issues and just being honest about who we are and where we come from and doing what they love and being successful. So I think, you know, I'm part of a generation that's starting to be that for these coming generations of indigenous youth.
What do you think that Americans don't know about the Native American experience that they should?
I would say genocide did happen in this country, and our people did survive genocide. They tried to wipe us out many times, and that influences our reality, whether we want it to or not. And I think that, you know, if people understood the indigenous reality and experience a lot more, we would be able to understand the United States of America a lot more and work out our issues a little more easily.
Our conversation with Native American rapper Frank Juan from last spring. And we're listening now to Frank Juan's The Feel Good Song featuring Cody DeNoyer and Sam Sochi Sampson. This is Here and Now.